Hey, welcome to Harvest Online. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are in a series called Family Essentials, and I'm just going to tell you beforehand that today's essential is one that when I tell you what it is, I think you're going to kind of roll your eyes and go, really? Like, do we really have to talk about this family essential? But I do think we need to. I think today's is so, so important. So let me frame it this way. Do any of you like to cook? Any of you? Miss Karen is with us today. I know you love to cook, especially cookies and anything with chocolate and peanut butter, which we are thankful that you like to cook, by the way. So in the comments, if you like to cook, just tell me the item you like to cook the most. I'd be curious to know. So during quarantine, my inner cook has kind of come alive. I've been cooking more, some of my favorite kind of go-to things are ribs and burgers. I have a really good potato salad. My cream corn is good. My queso, I really like our queso. So anyway, I'm making myself hungry. I've been cooking more during this. And here's the idea. If you were to ask me for a recipe for one of those items, and I wrote that down, I would tell you all of the ingredients. I think it would be safe to say when I gave you that recipe that all of the ingredients are essential ingredients, meaning if you remove one of those ingredients from the recipe, the end result is just not going to be the same. It's not going to taste the same. You're going to eat it and go, that does not taste like Pastor Jason's cream corn. It's because all of the ingredients are essential. And that's kind of how I feel about today's family essential, is this is such a big one. I mean, this is like the cheese in the queso, all right? You cannot have queso without cheese, and you can't have family, healthy family relationships without today's essential. It's just not going to be the same. In our series today, we're looking at this ingredient. I'll show it to you in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It says this, "Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one that you have had from the very beginning." This old commandment, here it is, ready? The old commandment to love one another. To love one another is the same message that you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived this truth out, and also you are living it. Today's family essential is love. Love has to be the foundation of healthy families. And I love how John frames it. He says, guys, this is not something that you don't already know. In fact, now that you know what the essential is, love, some of you might be wondering, like, come on, pastor, teach us something else. Teach us, love. I mean, come on, right? Like, some of you are thinking, like, I wish you would just blow me away today with, all the knowledge and biblical insight you have. Like, why are we talking about something so simple as love? Here's what I believe is sometimes it's not the new stuff that we didn't know, but rather it's the old stuff that we haven't been applying all along. Sometimes it's better not to learn this new thing, but to be reminded of an old thing and figure out how to apply it to our lives. And that's why John says, this is an old commandment, yet it is also new. So today, I've come to remind you of an old commandment, but my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would make it new in our hearts today. So think of me today as the CRO, okay, the CRO. So you've heard in organizations of like the CEO or the CFO or the COO, I'm the CRO today, meaning I am the chief reminder officer, okay? I'm coming today, honestly, I'm probably not going to teach you anything you don't know, but I've come to remind you of something that is so critical. It's so essential to healthy families. Today, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to make an old thing new. I was thinking about this idea of old things becoming new, and it's funny how sometimes this happens, right? It's something that used to be, popular popular, all of a sudden it's like it comes back, and all of a sudden it's popular again, especially in the fashion world, which why I'm talking about fashion, I have no idea. I have no authority on this subject, all right? So I called Lisa in the office earlier today. I said, babe, what are some things that used to be popular in fashion, and then they weren't popular anymore, but now they're coming back? And she goes, oh, there are so many. And she starts telling me all of the things, like I guess 90s athletic clothing is now coming back, all right? So Jace, we're good. We can pull all that back out, right? Joggers and windbreakers. And then I've noticed this one. She said this one, and then it was kind of like, that's why my girls are wearing these now, the scrunchies in their hair, like the big scrunchies for the ponytails, right? Or our middle daughter, Ava, she just bought a pair. She came home the other day with a brand new pair of Birkenstocks. And as soon as I saw them, I felt like I'm like back in high school again. I'm like, this is so weird. Like, that was popular when I was a teenager, and now my teenager, it's come full circle right now. Or like Doc Martens, I guess, are coming back. And I don't know if any of you ever wore Doc Martens. I had Doc Martens, and I don't know why they're coming back, but they're coming back, right? I read today, I researched this. I was like, what's coming back in style? And wide leg jeans are coming back. Mom jeans are coming back, not for the men, but for the ladies, all right? And it's just interesting, right? How sometimes an old thing will become new again, right? And today, I'm hopeful that the Holy Spirit will make this old thing, this idea of love, become new and fresh. Because here's what I know, is too many families are finding themselves in this place right now where they're kind of saying there, so like, you know, we started in love. I mean, we started there. I remember the first time I saw him or saw her. I remember, our wedding date, our honeymoon. It started in love. We know that we need love, but life has just worn us down, right? I mean, it's just amazing how life just, it just wears you down. It's not necessarily any one thing in particular. It's often, it's all of it put together, right? It's the early mornings and the late nights and the unexpected phone calls and the bills that you're trying to pay and all of this stuff. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, in marriage, sometimes you're living with someone that has become more of a roommate than a spouse. It's this idea that it started in love, right? But life has just kind of worn us down. And I'm just telling you, I found too many families that way. I have too many couples that come into my office asking for help. And they come in and they'll say things like this. They'll say, you know, Pastor, I just don't love them anymore. Or I just don't love her anymore. They'll come in, they'll say, you know, we used to be so in love. Or my least favorite is when they say this. They say, we've just fallen out of love, Pastor. You know, and that's my least favorite because the language tends to imply that falling in or out of love is just, it's an accident, right? It's like tripping over a crack in the parking lot. You know, it's like one day, you know, I just happened to just trip and all of a sudden we're in love. And the problem with that, you know, philosophy is if it's that easy to fall into, it's equally as easy to fall out of, right? But they'll say that. People will come into the office, they'll say, you know, I've fallen out of love. Maybe today we know that we need love. Maybe we know about love. Maybe we even know how important it is, but maybe we've forgotten some things about how to live in love with the ones that we love the most, with our family. And just like the other family essentials, all of these, they have implications outside of our family. We're talking about them in the context of family, but all of these will help us in the other parts of our lives. And this one is no different. The idea of living in love will affect all of the parts of our lives. If I'm honest and in my assessment of our current circumstances, as I kind of look around what's happening in the world right now, as I assess that, this is one of my observations, is I think that at least some of the church, some of the followers of Christ have forgotten the importance of love. As I look at the headlines today, as I look at the big issues that we're facing, as I look at how Christians are responding, it just kind of makes me cringe inside. And I just want to remind us today of the priority of love. Listen, when this crisis ends, which it will, all right, I know right now it feels like, my goodness, it's resurging. Like, is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to be able to send my kids back to school? Are we ever going to be, you know, back in church together? All of these questions. I'm just telling you, it's going to end. It's a season. No season ever lasts forever. And when this season ends, Christians will be known by how we lived in this season. We'll be known by how we led and how we loved. We'll be known by what we said, but not only what we said, but how we said it. We'll be known by the things that we posted, right? We're going to be known by how we lived in this season. And here's what John said in the Gospel of John. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another." Jesus said, "As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples, if you love one another." The mark, this is what Jesus said. They're going to know that you're my disciple, that you follow me and my ways and my teachings. They're going to know that by this mark, by the mark of love. And I just want to remind us today that we will be known. This is true all of the time. But guys, the eye has never been more on the church than it is today. I'm just telling you, the world's never watched more closely than in this season. And I just want us to know today that we will be known by our love. So my prayer is that today the Holy Spirit would make this new, this old command, that he would make it new in our hearts today. So why don't you join me? And this is a tradition for us. We're going to pause right now and we're going to pray. We're going to take 15 seconds. And my challenge to you is this, is make it personal. Open your heart today and ask the Lord, God, whatever you want to do in my life today, whatever you want to say to me, however you want to freshen my perspective of love today, will you help me today? God, I am yours, right? I love praying this prayer because it's like it makes the Word of God become so active for me today. So if you're willing to do that, let's just do that right now. Jesus, as we open your Word to talk about the priority of love in our families, but really in all areas of our life. Lord, I open my heart. Lord, we open our hearts here in this room today as we're recording and online, those who are watching right now. We open our hearts. We ask you right now, speak to us today in a personal way. Lord, help us with this topic of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to go to a chapter that's known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I found myself going back there as I was thinking about the essential for families of love. And I just want to talk about three things that I noticed as I reread this familiar chapter. I just want to talk about three things. The first one is this, is that love is priority. Okay, love is priority. When it comes to family, love is a really big deal. It's the priority. It's the important stuff. If you've seen the illustration of, you know, the vase where you got to put the big rocks and the medium rocks and the little rocks in, and really the only way to get it all in is you got to put the big rocks in first. I would say this for family: love is a big rock. Like, you got to put the big rocks in first. Love is so important. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus is asked this question: of all the commands, what's the most important? Or I might say it this way today: of all the commands, what's the priority, right? What's at the top of the list? And you know the answer because this is also our theme verse for the year. So you can say it with me today and you can say it with me at home. But Jesus answers, and he answers like this: what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then, without missing a beat, he just keeps going. He says, and the second one is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've always just thought it was interesting that Jesus is asked one question, but he gives two answers, right? It wasn't, you know, Jesus, what are the top two commands? It's, what's the most important command? But his answer is so revealing because it's like in one breath, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor, right? He didn't stop there and go, and by the way, I mean, it's almost like a big run-on sentence, right? It's like he knew what he was doing here. He had to communicate the importance, and both of them have to do with love, right? What's the number one priority? Love God and love people. Love God, and here's what I would tell you today, is that according to Jesus, love is a priority. But the reality is we see this throughout all Scripture. I mean, we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It starts like this. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. I'm sure you heard it in that passage. Over and over, he's saying love is a priority. Here's the deal. I just want us to know this today. You can live with family, but not love them. You can endure family, right? You can live together, put up with one another. You could even be friends with one another. You can do things together. You can pay bills together. You can do all the things that from the outside would make it look like, wow, that family is doing great, but you can still be missing love. That's no way to live. Here's what I'm telling you. Love has to become a priority. I got to point this out. It just caught my attention as I read this familiar passage in 1 Corinthians 13. It said, if I could speak all the languages, but I don't have love, I would be like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. When I read it this time, I've heard this verse before. You probably have as well. But when I read this verse, it kind of put a picture in my head of what it would be like to be married, but without love. In other words, to have a roommate, right? To have someone. And I remembered these Proverbs. There's three Proverbs. Proverbs 25 says this: it's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. Here's another one. And wives, just hang on, because I'm not picking on you, okay? I think it's unfair that the writer of Proverbs put all this towards you, all right? Proverbs 21:19 says, it's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. Proverbs 27:15 says, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day, okay? So wives, I'm sorry you had to endure. I had to get there to say this, all right? Because I've had some men over the years who have quoted these scriptures to me, trying to prove how biblical and how amazing they are and how terrible their wives are. And I honestly wasn't smart enough in that moment to be able to pull a symbol into my office and do this for them, okay? But now I'm going to talk to the men, okay? Men, if you live with a quarrelsome, complaining wife, the problem more than likely is that she is not living with a loving husband. I'm just telling you, the two go together. The two absolutely go together. And we go back to 1 Corinthians. It says, if I could speak all of the languages, and I love this idea. I mean, I only speak one language, and I barely speak it well. But, you know, the other night we were playing games with Justin and Annette, and they were a team against some of others, and they started speaking in Spanish because none of the rest of us spoke in Spanish. And Ava said, they're using their secret language. And I'm like, well, it's just Spanish, but none of us know it, right? So imagine you could speak English and Spanish and Italian and German, and you know, I'll pick all the, and then he says, and the language of the angels, right? The heavenly language. But if you don't have love, right, then this is what you sound like. It's just kind of an annoying sound, right? Now, the first time it's not that bad, right? But you just keep going, and you keep going, right? And this is the idea. I think this is the opposite side to what Proverbs is saying. Proverbs is saying, look, you don't want to live with a quarrelsome wife. But I want to say to the husbands, right, of those quarrelsome wives, they don't want to live with an annoying husband who's doing things that are not out of love. It's like, well, I'm going to work, and I'm paying the bills, and I'm taking the kids to school, right? And I took the trash out yesterday, right? Like, doesn't she see all the things that I'm doing? Yeah, but you're an annoying clanging cymbal if it's not done in love. Love has to be the priority. Love has to be the very top. And Paul is so serious about this. He wrote 1 Corinthians 13. He said, love takes priority over being spiritual, right? So this really gets under the skin of the spiritual people, right? But look, I mean, he points this out. He says, if I speak the languages of the angels, right? If I have the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans, right? I mean, how much closer can you get to God to know his secret plans? But Paul says, if you do all of that, but you don't have love, you're nothing. You're a clanging cymbal, a noisy gong. Paul says, but this is priority over being spiritual. Paul says, love's more important than being smart. He says, what if I had all of the knowledge, right? Listen, I know some smart people, okay? I know some people who know a whole lot more than me. But he said, if I knew all the knowledge, but I don't have love, right? He's prioritizing, right? In case you're a smart person, you're saying, well, knowledge is supreme. No, Paul's putting the priority, saying, no, love is priority over being smart. He says, love is priority over having faith. Right? He said, even if you have great faith, faith to move mountains, right? I mean, that's some faith, right? I mean, I look at the Sandia Mountains, you know, across our city every day, and I wonder, like, what kind of faith would it take to move the Sandia Mountains, right? And Paul says, if you have that kind of a faith, you still got to have love. He's helping us to prioritize. He says, love is more important than being generous, right? He says, even if you gave everything, okay? Listen, there's some people who give a lot, okay? I don't know hardly anyone who gives everything. He says, if you give everything, even if you sacrifice your body, I love how he points that. He goes, you could boast about it, right? But you're still missing something if you don't have love. And then he says, love's more important than being successful. I love how the Message version writes this. The Message says, so no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. I love that image. I'm bankrupt without love. Listen, whatever is priority, this is why it's so important. Love is priority. Whatever is priority gets the most attention, the most resources, the most thought, the most energy. In other words, whatever is priority gets the pursuit of our heart. Now you probably remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. You remember that? Seek first the kingdom. Jesus there is talking about priorities. He's not saying you can't have any other priorities. He's saying in your list of priorities, something has to be first, and I want to be first. Jesus understood this priority principle that you will seek first, most, and hardest what your heart desires. This is why for our families, for our marriages, for our kids, so important that love is a priority. If you've found yourself today in a situation where you feel as if love is gone from your relationship, I would ask this question first. I would ask, has love truly been a priority, or am I just going through the motions? Which brings me to the next part of love, is love is practical. It's practical. I think we're training our children, this next generation, and they're getting confused because they associate love with a feeling. I think this is causing some confusion, okay? They associate love with a feeling. And you know, those of us in the room who are married, you'll probably remember the first time you saw your spouse, the first time you got excited and thought, wow, you know, she's beautiful. Or, you know, in Lisa's case, she was like, look at those corduroy pants he's wearing, which, by the way, are coming back, according to my research. I just want you to know. You saw your spouse, and you did feel something. I mean, there were some butterflies in your stomach, or the first time you went out, the first time you held hands, the first time you kissed. There are feelings associated with that. The problem is that if the basis of love is our feeling, the problem is feelings run out. The problem is things change, right? I mean, life happens, and the we can't base our love only on the feelings. And so what happens is the longer you're married, the more you realize how practical love is. The problem is we can't teach the next generation the practical parts of love because all they want is the emotional parts of love. But guys, love is so much more practical. I mean, love is getting up and putting your clothes in the dirty clothes, right? Love is washing the dishes. Love is gassing up the car. Love is all of these practical things. But here's the beauty, okay? Is that the feelings don't really lead to the practical, but the practical can lead to the feelings. When you're doing the practical things, all of a sudden your spouse notices, oh, wow. What are they noticing? They're noticing he really does love me. She really does love me because they're proving it in the practical ways. They're proving it in the way they're spending their time. They're proving it in the way they're spending their resources. They're proving it because they're doing things they don't even like to do. They're doing it because they love me, right? Let's tell you, love is practical. If you look the word love up in the dictionary, it has a V beside it, which means this, that love is a verb, okay? You've heard this before. Love's a verb. Verb means that it's a word used to describe an action, right? Love is an action word. It's used to describe, in other words, love needs to be lived out. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Guys, it is so easy to say, I love something. It's so easy. Like after we record today, we're gonna eat burgers together, right? I love burgers. Anyone else love burgers? Okay. Do you hear how easy it rolled off my tongue, right? I love burgers. I love cheeseburgers. I love burgers with bacon. It's so easy. But listen, that's not even the right context, okay? The context is our relationships that are the most important to us. And in that context, listen, there's nothing I can do to make a burger know that I love it. But there's a lot of things I can do to help my wife know and my kids know and my family know that I love. Love is an action. It requires action. So here's just a couple of things that we can do on a practical level to show love. Number one, put others first. Prefer the other person. Romans 12:10 says this, be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. Can I just tell you that all of us are wired to think about ourselves first? All of us. Every one of us, the first thing you think about when you get up has to do with you. I mean, it's just, you start immediately trying to think through the things that you need to do to take care of you, right? It's how we're wired. How do we show love? By putting the other first. Here's another one. Look for the best in others. Here's what's interesting. We want others to see the best in us, but it's not, most often, it's not the thing we do in return, right? We got to look for the best in others. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6 says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. We're looking for the best in one another. Here's another one. Forgive others quickly. The first message in this series was all about forgiveness. All right, we can go back and check this one. But listen, those that we love, we should forgive quickly. 1 Corinthians, again, 13, verse 5 says, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Here's one more practical. Follow through till the end. Follow through. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8. Just two key words to pay attention to. The word always and the word never. It says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Those are practical, right? Those are things you can do. Those are action words. And then it ends with this. Love never fails. So here's a question we can ask ourselves today. Am I doing the practical things to show my family that I love them? And this leads me to the last one. Love perseveres. Love perseveres. Love always trusts, always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Listen, there's a lot of things in this world that will fail you. If this last 4 months hasn't shown us that, if we haven't learned that everything that we thought we could put our trust in has been shaken, right? We keep coming back to that verse in Hebrews. Everything that we thought we could trust in is going away. I'm just telling you, there are a lot of things in life that will fail you, but love never fails. If you are, here's this practical, this is something I tell people in marriage, pre-marriage counseling, okay? But it'll work for you today too. If you are married or getting ready to get married, take the word divorce out of your vocabulary. Just decide up front. We're not going to use this word. You know why? As soon as you use that word as a threat, right? Well, if you're not gonna, then I'm gonna, right? As soon as you start using that word, you begin to erode trust between one another. You begin to erode the love between you. I'm just telling you, it's a dangerous word to use. Family is not a place for that word. Family is a place for that foundation of love. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians says, and now these three remain, okay? So three things last, three things persevere: faith, hope, and love. And then he says this, but the greatest of these is love. Love lasts. I don't know if your wedding vows included these words or some version of these words, but Lisa and I stood on a stage in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we made our vows towards one another, and they ended with, till death do us part. Till death do us part. Now, there are days that I think Lisa does think it would be easier to just kill me than to continue loving me, okay? If you tuned in last week, you'll notice I still have not shaved my beard. So she might be plotting things right now in my sleep. I don't know, all right? But we made these vows to one another. To love, honor, cherish. We're going to do, and then we said this, till death do us part. Listen, talk about parenting for just a second. Our children need the security of knowing that their family is not going to dissolve at the first sign of adversity. They don't need to think their family's perfect. I promise you, if you interview Mercy, Ava, or Eden, I promise you they know that we don't agree on everything. I promise you they've heard us fight before. I promise you that there's been some of that. They know there's conflict. They know it's not always perfect. But I also promise you that they know there's a security that we have made a vow to one another that this thing is till death do us part, and we're going to stick it out. We're going to fight through the hard times. Listen, it's easy to fall in love in the easy times, but unfortunately, life's not full of just easy times. Our kids need to know that this is going to persevere. It's going to make it. It's going to last. Sometimes I get couples come in for marriage counseling, and it's just, I can tell from the get-go, I feel like I'm fighting for their marriage harder than they're fighting for their marriage. I just want to go, come on, man. Love lasts. Love never gives up. Love's a priority. Love's practical. So love perseveres. I'll end with this, is that love requires work. You've probably heard the illustration, but I've often heard of love referred to as a fire that you have to continue to tend to it. You got to, you know, constantly kind of be moving the sticks around and adding logs to the fire and protecting it from the wind and protecting it from the rain. You got to keep that fire going. Well, this week I read about a Greek race. I actually never heard about this. I read about a Greek race and it kind of intrigued me, this idea, because the winner of the race, they would get the teams together and they would light a torch for each of the teams, and it was a relay, and they had to pass the torch along the way. But here was the thing. The winner was not the fastest team to cross the finish line. The winner was the team that got to the finish line with their fire still going. Isn't that interesting? Can I challenge you today, families, married people especially? The end of the race, the fire still needs to be going. I'm just telling you, and here's the thing. to keep the fire going, you're gonna have to pay attention. You're gonna have to be vigilant. You're gonna have to fight for it. You're gonna have to work on it. I'm just telling you, there's gonna be plenty of places along the way for the fire to get put out. There's gonna be plenty of opportunities because the enemy, that's his whole goal is to put the fire out. That's his whole idea. So you're gonna have to fight to keep the fire going. And that's my prayer. That's become my prayer for you this week because I read about this race is God help us at Harvest to keep the fire going, to keep it going in our marriages and our families with our children. Help us to keep the fire going. Let's do the hard work to keep the fire going. Who's with me? So I've discovered that I love ending this and then going into a worship song because it's a perfect chance for us to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. So our prayer is, Lord, two things. Lord, make this old thing new in us again. Light the fire. And then my second part of this is help us to keep the fire going. So Harvest, why don't you join me today as we worship and let's ask the Holy Spirit to work in us today with the family essential of love.